It is time for Appraise This with Tim Luke and Greg Strom. Of course, they join us on a Tuesday morning. Treasure Quest Appraisal Group is their domain of business, and you can find them at tqag.com. And let's see who has joined us. Are you both there?
Yes. Is Tim? I don't know. Tim doesn't show like he's...
He doesn't show like he's there. That's what because this stupid... they've got a new this stupid interface now, and it's different. So let me see if I can find where I can. Doesn't show that participants here. There it is. It says Tim's there, but I can't hear him.
Okay, let me see. I'm here now.
Ah, there he is.
I had to manually join. It did not ring through.
It's so how?
Yeah.
If you notice, I don't.
Same thing here.
I don't.
I had to do. It rang. I didn't even hear it ring. All of a sudden, I just it said join call. I didn't even and it looks different.
Well, yeah, they updated the everything and once again another stupid upgrade.
I know.
Why can't you just leave things alone? It's like Windows. Every 10 minutes, there's a damn update with Windows. And
the
now
same. Oh, it's just so annoying.
Yeah. Well, anyways, we'll get off that. We're not going to talk numbers, but how about the 60,000 people? 60,000 people showed up at the Barrett Jackson Palm Beach auction. 60,000 people. That fills a football stadium.
That's amazing. Well, the advertisements were fast and furious down here. I mean, the amount of money that they spend on marketing and advertising, it's astounding. I mean, the advertisements were everywhere on television. So whenever they do come down here, they do usually, it really draws a big crowd. So
big, I understand, but
people, I don't understand. It's wow.
That's a lot. I mean, it runs for a while. I think it runs for a week, but still, you can average it out. That's 10,000 people a day, and they're different people because they're not repeating the same. It's just, and they. But one thing I'll say about Barrett Jackson and all the big car auctions, they offer things for people that want to get in that can get in for like $20,000 to $30,000, and they offer things for people that want to spend $2, 3, 4, or 5 million. So maybe, you know, it's a very wide audience that they go for. But still, you just to hear 60,000 people, that is a football stadium.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of people. All right. So now on to I do have three things that I've picked out here, but we'll go on to one of the more formal ones, and that is a rare $10 gold coin designed by Augustus St. Gaudens, Teddy Roosevelt's assistant. $1.1 million at auction.
Amazing.
A $10 gold coin, $1 million at auction. It's a beautiful coin. I mean, it really is. It was, I'm not sure where it was, where the auction was. It was at Bowers Galleries in Costa Mesa, California. Figures.
Yeah.
Figures. But yeah, it is a beautiful coin.
The thing is that gold coins, really, I mean, check your safety deposit boxes. Check that if anybody has them, because I just did four big estate appraisals. They all had gold coins, and they are much more valuable than what they say. It might be a $10, $50, even Kruger ounce, all that. Gold is king. It really is.
You know, people have been saying gold is going to be not, but it really isn't. There's only a certain amount of gold in the earth,
and that's why it continues to go up. It's, and I'm not going to say this, but with other currencies that are out there, whether they're digital or not, there it has to be a limited supply, because that's what makes it go up and hold its value. If it's unlimited, then it fluctuates, and it doesn't have that ability to to sell for that. Gold has continued to go up, as well as silver, not to the same rate, but gold has always gone up. And these gold coins, if you have them in your safety deposit box or in your closet, you know, make sure you secure them, because they are, they continue to go up in value.
Well, you know, you can check the news, and you can see there's a list of countries. I think it's up to 30 countries now around the world that have switched to the gold standard to back their currency. And if you are old enough to remember, like I am, the United States used to have currency backed by the gold standard. And the great thing about having a gold standard back your currency, you can't print as much money as you want. It controls spending, and prices can't fluctuate as much, because your money is actually backed by something of substance, which, and gold is one of those substances, which it might fluctuate a little, but it always in the end goes up.
And not huge swings. I mean, it may go down a little, may go up a little, you know, but there's a constant. It doesn't have those crazy swings of up and down.
There's a reason we built Fort Knox, politicians.
Yes, I agree. Yes. I agree. The fact that it's almost like the digital coin thing. It's what is the money backed with? I mean, it's just a piece of paper unless you have something to back it up. And that's the way I feel. And I don't understand how the whole economy thing. I don't really quite understand the.
I don't understand it
either.
How
that it works.
If you want to get into the digital currency, do it like people treat with penny stocks. You know, get something that's like a half a cent or something. And, you know, when you want to throw 50 or 60 bucks in there and see in 10 years what happens with it, that's fine. But these people that are putting out hundreds of thousands of dollars in an unregulated currency, it just scares you.
I know. And the thing is, it's my understanding that one coin or whatever it is it sells for like thousands of dollars. So it's not as though you can treat them as penny stocks. You got to have some pretty big pennies.
There are plenty of cheap ones out there. And I hope people understand that you don't have to go in big time if you want to dabble into it. You can go into it small time. It's like you guys. If people want to invest in collectibles, whether it's art, whether it's cars, whether it's whatever, you have to go into it where you have the means to actually support going into it, and then say, okay, now I can wait years and years and years for my return.
Correct.
Yeah. And the other thing about that is you buy what you can afford at the time. And then as you accumulate a little more wealth, and you want to upgrade your collection, and be the same, you know, the same with investing in stocks and stuff. Sell for less of a better thing, just so that you can upgrade. But you know, like it's like dominoes. You start, and then you have to just keep feeding the monster, and you do it in such a way that you're not overextending yourself. So if you have, let's say, for example, you have we'll use a Steiff teddy bear. Okay. And let's say that 50 years ago, you bought it and you paid a lot of money for it. And you didn't pay a lot of money for it. And now you're at a place in your life where, you know, I want to upgrade that. So now I'm going to sell that one, and I'm going to go up a level, and so that way you're not overextending yourself, and you're making your collection better. And I think it's going to have to be the same way with all this Bitcoin. You can't just go in there and drop $100,000 and expect that something's going to happen.
You know, I've seen far too many stories of people going out and taking out a mortgage for like $40,000 or $50,000 so they can buy one Bitcoin. Well, that's just crazy, because that's called leverage. Yeah, and you have no leverage.
No. And there again, to me, it seems like if you were doing that with gold and you actually had something concrete or to hold in your hand,
That's a very good point, Greg. Because also in that same sale, and I was talking about silver, there was a silver coin. It was from 1795, and it's a Liberty. It's the draped bust silver dollar coin. That sold in that same auction at Stacks, sold for $780,000 for that piece. But it's interesting, when you read in the article, it said they were expecting that piece to also sell over 1 million. It said that at 780,000, it said, oh, it's too bad it fell short of the 1.25 million estimate based on the coin's current price guide value, which that illustrates something that we always talk about, is that price guides, things like that, that are trying to indicate value based on somebody else's opinion of where the market is not a true reflection of where it is. I mean, you know,
especially in a digital age. Especially in a digital age. Things change literally in hours. It's not like the air quote olden days, where when you would get a ceramic or a silver collecting, you know, a book, a catalog, or a price guide, the market was, people didn't have the ability to go onto the internet and find these things, so that it served a purpose. But once the digital age came in and we started to be able to see prices in real time, a price guide is useless because they literally can change from day to day. And we've seen what's happened with the art market, and we're seeing a trend in the collectibles market. The same things are kind of starting to bounce back a little bit in certain areas. So, but it's there again, we know that because it's in real time. So that's another thing that has to be taken into consideration.
All right, let's talk about bounce back. Sotheby's next month has a Picasso portrait of the Muse. They're expecting that to sell for more than $60 million.
Well, I've been keeping my eye out, because you had mentioned a couple of weeks ago about the Warhol Marilyn. So I have that one I'll have to watch as well. But I've been waiting to see if there's anything happening, updates on the Marilyn, and I guess it's causing quite a buzz. So it seems the advertising for that, again, it seems like it's popping up everywhere. So I have a feeling the next couple of months in the art world are going to be spectacular. So,
well, and that May is typically the month that there are all of these large sales of post-war, then there's contemporary, there's modern, there's impressionist, all of those categories. That is their big sale month, is the month of May. And we're really going to see where the market is and what artists are hot. I'm actually working on a large insurance appraisal, and the client has a number of these blue chip artists in his collection. And I basically told him, I want to wait before I put in replacement values on any of his stuff, because I want to see what the market does in May. And he said, yeah, absolutely, I agree. There's lots of speculation, but that once the sales happen, then you have a better indication as to which direction, not only direction the market is going, but also is it a rising market? And when you're doing replacement value, knowing that it's a rising market, to replace that, it's going to take more money to replace that piece, or is it stable? Is it right where we think it is, or is it slightly decreasing? So it's always interesting to watch where these sales go, because even though the collector may not have an oil on canvas, but it, when all the oil, it's basically when one item does really well, it rises all boats. I mean, it's like the tide comes in, and whether it's a print or something that was done by the artist, it does affect its value on that retail level is because the dealers watch that, and they do adjust their prices in their galleries based on what's going on in the marketplace.
Oh, I want to go to this. This is a great story, and this is somebody who obviously was a savvy investor. Back in 2010, after Tiger Woods won all four major championships in 1 year, his clubs were auctioned off for charity, okay? And a guy by the name of Todd Brock purchased them for $57,000, okay? Mm-hmm. All right. They just recently sold at auction for $5.1 million. Oh, now, that is a return on investment in, what, 12 years to go from 50-some thousand dollars to $5.1 million? Wow.
That's major. That is a major jump. But I think that when was the auction prior to the Masters?
You know, people thought he paid too much originally, $57,000 for a set of clubs, but nobody's ever held all four titles at once. And so there's the provenance, and they're Tiger Woods, and you know, the sky's the limit.
Well, and also, you know, regardless of his finish, he finished, you know, during the Masters. He did well for just his first time back, and first time back after the accident. And oh, let's go to one of the most difficult tournaments, and he was able to make it through, you know, and it's, I give him so much credit, and it's just really wonderful to see that, you know, that he's getting back out there. He's like, no, he's determined.
Yeah, he's determined. Really determined. He's good for the game of golf. And you know what? Almost every doctor they interviewed says there is no way after the accident that he should have been out there walking a course like that. There's just no way. That's the amount of perseverance and training that he has.
It was exciting to watch. It was it was very good to watch, and it was there was also good golf beside the human interest story about Tiger and his comeback, as it were. I as much as I enjoy watching them do the green jacket on the winner, there was, to me, the day really belonged to Tiger Woods.
All right, and coming up in auction for all you folks that want to get a piece of musical history, Kurt Cobain's Smells Like Teen Spirit Fender guitar is going up for auction for the first time. It's an auction that will benefit mental illness. That's where the proceeds will go to. It's going to be interesting to see, not all the proceeds, but a major portion will go to benefit that charity. It's going to be amazing to see what that guitar will bring.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I thought his guitar has, well, yeah, I'm sure he had more than one, but I know his stuff always seems to, there's something cultish.
No, he did. Right now, the most expensive auctioned off guitar ever is one of Kurt Cobain's, and that sold in 2020 for $6 million.
Right.
So you can expect this one will probably be at least there, if not more, especially because this one, a portion of the proceeds is going to charity. It's not just, you know, an out-out auction for somebody to own the guitar.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to. That's another one we're going to have to follow because they can be. This is where if all, too much hype might be the kiss of death, as it were, because you know you just mentioned before about, oh well, you know, it didn't this certain thing, you know, if it didn't perform at a certain level, it's always like such a failure. But when you're at this level, I don't know how, even if it does underperform according to the auction house, it doesn't mean that it's not worth that. It's just one of those things that we're all interested in seeing how much something goes for rather than what it's really worth.
Now, here's an interesting story that you guys are going to love. Due to the Russian invasion into the Ukraine, of course, Russian billionaires have had their yachts seized all over the world. Well, one of them had their motor yacht, a $37 million motor yacht, will be sold at a 24-hour auction. Why? Because Britain authorities got that yacht. Not only was he an oligarch, but he was drug trafficking operation. It's an online auction, and it's going to be out of Belfast. It's going to be interesting to see what that yacht will bring.
Yes.
Do the contents come with it, or have they taken those off the ship?
I'm sure the contents have long been taken off. But the great thing about this yacht, it's an old-fashioned yacht, okay? But it's beautiful, and it's totally been redone on the inside. So it looks like a modern suite you'd find on a Queen Mary II in the $50,000 cruise range. I mean, so it's amazing how governments can get involved in this. And you can imagine with all the yachts that have been seized so far, they'll also be held onto by governments, and they'll be auctioned off. It's a great way to, it's almost like a parking ticket, a great way to raise money.
Something that nobody's talked about on these ships, and that is a lot of – imagine the artwork that is on some of these gigantic ships. So, I mean, and then I'm sure they're not reproductions. So the stuff that is on there, if it ever does come up for auction, I think we're going to see things that are – just amazing. And so it wouldn't put I wouldn't put it past them if some of the stuff has been what's the word I'm looking for, contraband stuff, where it's things that have been stolen and have turned up missing and they haven't been seen for many years. I wouldn't be surprised if some of the stuff hasn't ended up on some of these yachts.
What
I find interesting, though, Marshall, is that this oligarch, he has to have a side hustle, dealing drugs.
Well, sure, you know, you gotta have various revenue streams.
I guess multiple streams of income.
You got to turn that illegal cash into legal cash somehow.
Exactly. Oh,
but when we sit here talking about things like this, when you guys got into the appraisal business years ago, things like this probably would have never crossed your mind.
No, I will say that right up front. It's, you know, when you get to these luxury yachts and airplanes and things like that being seized and then sold and being major assets. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah.
Well, especially seeing as you're used to having as an auctioneer, things have to be verified and everything, and the turnaround time is not that quick. And once again, everything, if all the T's aren't crossed and the I's dotted, the auction doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, you're in a whole different world now. You never expected to be in this type of world.
Oh, goodness, I know. No.
Well, it is what it is.
That's why I picked the perfect time to start to retire.
I like what you said. How do you start to retire? Now, Tim, explain me. Exactly. I'm not going to have Greg explain this. Tim, explain to me, how the hell do you start to retire?
I know. Yeah, he keeps starting and restarting. I'll tell you that.
Well,
it's hard. I just can't sit around and do nothing. No, I got to do something. No, so I don't understand. I just remember growing up, you know, when you got to be 65, they gave you your fishing equipment at the office farewell party, and that was the end of it.
Out you went. That's it. All right, guys. Always great speaking to you. We'll speak to you next week.
Okay, have a great week. Take care, buddy.
Take care, guys. Tim Luke and Greg Schraub, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack, with Appraise This here on Robinhood Radio. It is 7:56.